And I want you to turn to the book of Isaiah. Excuse me, I said Isaiah. Turn to the book of, Isaiah chapter number 1. Isaiah chapter 1. And I want you to give me your undivided attention for a few minutes today. And I'll share with you what the Lord gave me a couple of weeks ago, this thought, while I was out of town. And I was hoping that I could preach this last Sunday, and the Lord would not allow it. So I believe it would be His will for today. And so Isaiah chapter number 1 and verse number 18. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse number 18. You find that verse, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's wonderful. The Bible says, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Let's pray together. Lord, I love you and I thank you for the privilege of being in church today. I pray that you would help us in the moments to come. Lord, I thank you for the good singing that we've heard already today. Lord, I'm glad of the man of this book, and I thank you for that. I'm glad that he knows my name, and I thank you for that. But Lord, I know there's folks here today, I have no doubt by their own admission, there are folks here today that are lost, and you don't know them. And I pray right now, God, that you would bring them to come to know you today, and that you will know them before the service is over today. I pray that you'd work that out. I know that you're able to, and I pray that you will. And I will be careful to thank you and praise you for what you're going to do. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. He said, "Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow." Now, this verse contains a lot more than that, and I could preach all afternoon just on this one verse. But I want to look at the one phrase here. "Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow." And, you know, snow is an interesting subject. It's mentioned about 4 or 5 dozen times in your Bible. And so if you'll bear with me for a few minutes, I'm going to preach on a white Christmas. Now, we're not going to have a white Christmas this year, unfortunately. It's going to be 65 degrees. Anybody depressed about that? Look yonder. We got some people that want to wake up to... I remember when I was in high school... I've got a picture of me and my sister in front of my 1978 Ford Mustang. It was silver. I mean, it was like shiny. So like, put your sunglasses on, silver. That was nice. And it had a vinyl top on it, black leather seats on the inside. And we were at my grandmother's house. You don't drive a sports car in the snow. Can I get a witness on that? But I did. I did. And drove all the way to the head of Rims Creek up the beach community to my grandmother's house for Christmas like we always did. And me and my sister took a picture in front of that Ford Mustang, and I remember that. And there are times that I can remember you associating snow and Christmas. Now, you don't have to do that. Obviously, people that will go to church this week and celebrate Christmas in South Florida will not be talking much about snow. South Texas won't be talking much about snow. In Death Valley, they won't be talking much about snow. But snow is a prominent feature in your Bible. And I appreciate what the Lord has taught us about snow. I can't even really deal with all of it today. There's so much in your Bible about snow that I don't have time to deal with all of it today. But I do want to deal with this part of it. "Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow." I know that as a 37-year-old man, I have committed a lot of sins. In my past, I have committed a lot of sins. In my present, I have committed a lot of sins. And if the Lord don't come in the next few moments, there'll be more sins that I commit. I'm not bragging about that. I'm not glorying in that. I'm just telling you that is a fact of life. We sin. Men sin, women sin, children sin, old people sin, young people sin. The people that you look at as being holy people and you hold them in high esteem and respect as we should, they still sin. Man is a sinner. And so when we see this snow here, represented here, there's multiple references to snow in your Bible. I'm going to give you all of them very quickly because they overlap.
snow is shown in your Bible as in a reference to leprosy. We won't take time for that, but when leprosy is described in your Bible, it's described as a snow white in color when it's dangerous. There's literal references to snow in the Bible, meaning to say, talking about snow, as you would go out and make a snowball and throw it, just like it's something that we can touch and feel. You can see that in your Bible. There's snow water in your Bible. Okay? How many of you at home right now have a container of snow water? Anybody? Up high, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, or 8 of you have snow water. Now, there's a lot of people that roll their eyes and say, I wish they'd just hush about that. That's not only a biblical thing, but is a science thing. Okay? So what do you do with that? Well, you get burns and sunburn throughout the year and those types of things. If you'll study the book of Job, there are two references to snow water in the book of Job. And he talks about his soul being clean in a way that his body can be cleansed by snow water. So naturally melted water that comes from naturally fallen snow is one of the, if not the cleanest substance on planet Earth. I consulted a lot of people about that over the past couple of weeks because, you know, I have this two liter bottle of snow water. I know some of you, and I won't point you out, but there are some of you that in March, middle March, first couple, 3 weeks of March, if we get a snow here on Sunday, as soon as I'm done, you'll scurry out the door with a blade and a bowl of some sort, and you'll scrape it off the hood of your car because you know the last snow of the season has value to it when it's melted. Anybody in here know what I'm talking about? Snow water. And you use that to treat various skin ailments throughout the year. Now, some of you don't find any value in that, but Job found value in snow water in your Bible. We also see a reference to snow talking about coming from God, snow coming from God in your Bible. In Psalm 148, we see a list of things that snow is involved with. It talks about fire and hail and snow and vapor and stormy wind fulfilling His word. Snow is mentioned in acts of weather that God has created. Snow is talked about as being cold. Now, January 1st in Brevard, where we live in my 20s, they have an event on January 1st. It's the New Year's Day dive. And these guys, and some of y'all know what I'm talking about, they go to Davidson River in the Pisgah Forest on January 1st. And they jump into the big diving hole that everybody goes to in the summertime, but they jump into it on January 1st. Now, has anybody in here experienced anything like that in the wintertime on purpose? I mean, okay, some of y'all. Has anybody been baptized? And I was told, now I don't know about this, but some of you may remember, I was told that out here at the creek there was a baptism with this church involved where they had to break the ice in the creek. Can anybody remember that? Some of you remember that. Now, I'm not right interested in doing a whole lot of that. It's not that big of an emergency to me. But, you know, there's nothing wrong with it. And if you've got guts and I've got the wherewithal and we want to do a baptizing in January, we'll do it. And we'll just pray real hard and get blankets. Some of y'all are so spiritual. I mean, it's just blowing my mind how spiritual some of y'all are. Snow is cold. Snow is referenced in your scripture. Now, this I'm not making this up. This is in the Bible. Snow is shown as a way to irrigate. Okay, so let me ask you this question. If we get a torrential rain on a garden, it's going to do something different than if the same area has snowfall that seeps into the ground as it melts. There's an irrigating factor in snow that, I'm not talking about after the garden is growing in the summertime. I'm talking about to keep that ground saturated. It's much better to have snow slowly melting into it than it to be slammed in a torrential rain. That is mentioned in your Bible. Snow is showed to represent different garments in your Bible, and raiments in your Bible are shown to be as white as snow. And the hair of God. The hair of God is described to us as being white as snow. Now, those are the overlapping references to snow in your Bible. The simple sight, now listen, in snow itself, that takes your sin and makes it white. This beautiful reference in your Bible, when you look at it, it is a beautiful picture. Once you see the science of this snow, it commences in the clouds. My salvation experience did not start in hell. My salvation experience began with somebody in the clouds. And when I get rescued out of this life and go into the next one, I'll be taken out of here by somebody in a cloud. And when I lift up mine eyes into the hills from whence cometh my help, I'm pointing my eyes upward and beyond the hills to the clouds and beyond the clouds to a heavenly world, to a God that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. That snow is a beautiful picture of something that begins in the clouds. It commences in the clouds. Also, this snow comes down when God says. Now, I have been in a sleet storm in June. Okay? And I wasn't here. I was out west preaching, and we had to move our tent. Sir, we were in a tent. We had to move it into a barn with a metal roof. Can you imagine trying to preach in a barn with a metal roof in a sleet storm? Okay, now we could, help me out now. I know we're on radio, but help me out loudly. What is the latest snow you've experienced? Anybody? April? Anybody seen a May snow around here? I'm talking about around here. So we've seen a May snow around here, over here. Okay, now you say, well, that's not possible. That's springtime. Well, if God wants it to snow in August, she's going to snow in August. Okay? And when God said it's time for His only begotten Son to be born, it was time. And when God says it's time for Him to come again, He'll come again. That could be any day now. This snow covers everything it touches. So that snow, I'll never forget Brother Joel Hirado, my roommate in Bible college. The first time I drove him in the snow, we were going down Highway 64 in Transylvania County, just a few miles from Henderson County, and that snow got deeper and deeper and deeper. And he's from an island in the Philippines. He grew up next to a volcano. He grew up with volcanic ash out his bedroom window every day. And he, nothing but hot all the time. And it's the dead of winter. And he looked at me and he elbowed me just as hard as he could. And he said these three words, I'll never forget it. He looked at me and he said, I understand now. I said, what are you talking about? He said, yesterday we were driving down Highway 64 and there was a McDonald's wrapper laying on the side of the road. And we went a little further and there was a beer can laying on the side of the road. And we went a little further and there was this and that. And there was brown, ugly dirt and there was brown, dead grass and there were rocks and stones and all kind of messy, junky yuck on the side of the road. But now after that snow's fallen for a few inches, I don't see nothing but the snow. And if you'll get good and covered by the Lord Jesus Christ and people look at you, they won't see them old beer cans and that old dirt in your life. All they'll see is the white as snow that you can become when He washes you. And I love it. I thank God for it. Snow covers everything it touches. Snow can come anywhere at any time. Nobody's left out of a snowstorm. I mean, if a snowstorm's coming and it's big enough and it's coming through your area, there's nothing but God that will keep it from coming to you. And if it's coming this way, the state starts making preparations and the schools start shutting down and people go and they buy all the bread and milk that they can imagine because that's all people live on when it snows for some reason. I'm sorry, give me some fried chicken. I'm not going to eat bread and milk three meals a day. Amen. But that's what we do. Honey, go get some bread and milk. It's snowing. Okay. There must be a historical significance of that for some reason, but I don't know what it is. Because when you pour milk on bread and you get milk toast, well, that's, some of y'all like that, but I'm not a terrible big fan of it. Anybody know what milk toast is? Come on now. The old school preachers, I'll give you a little history lesson. The old school preachers, when they wanted to tell you use weak-kneed or coward or liberal, they'd call you milquetoast. Lester Roloff, he'd rear back and tell you if you was a dad that didn't take care of your family that you was as worthless as milquetoast. Go home this afternoon, make you a piece of toast, pour about a quart of milk on top of it and see what you have left. Then drink it. Snow continues past, present, and future. It may not be snowing right now, but if the Lord don't come and we're here long enough, we'll see it again. And there are times where you don't see a whole lot of snow falling, but every now and then it'll fall and it'll cover everything around it. And I'm telling you, I'm praying that 2020 will be the year of spiritual snowfall in Madison County and people get saved all over the place. When I get phone calls and they tell me about 30-year-olds getting saved, Lord have mercy, if I could have got on my roof and shouted all over the county, I'd have done it. Statistically speaking, a 30-year-old don't get saved. Fooey on it. Fooey on statistics. Snow consists of water. And in your Bible, water represents the Spirit of God and the Word of God. When you got the Spirit of God and the Word of God falling on somebody, they're going to get saved. And I'm praying for that. All right, and I want you to notice four simple things as we bring this thought out. Look at Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18 again. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. The first thing I want you to notice is the confession of the sinner. The confession of the sinner. The very first word in this phrase is the word though. The word though, now we use the word though. You probably used the word though this morning. You might have used the word though in the first 5 minutes of your day. It's a word we use every day. But you, if I asked you to stand up right now and give the definition of the word snow or pay $100, most of you probably have to pay $100. I be honest with you, I don't know that I would have been able to write out a definition for the word though. T-H-O-U-G-H, what does it mean? The word though means to admit. Admit. A sinner, and that's just a simple definition in the 1828 dictionary. A sinner, the first step in getting his red scars to turn whiter than snow, as white as snow, is to admit he's got a problem. Though your sins be as scarlet. Most people are like, I ain't no sinner. I've talked to so many people like that. Are you a sinner? No, of course I'm not a sinner. Now my neighbor, he's a sinner. And then they start telling you why. But if we'll all be honest, if we open up the closets and we look into the books and the magazines and we go into the depths of your soul, there won't be a person breathing air right now that can say, I'm not a sinner. I can't say it. You can't say it. The only person that's ever lived that could say, I'm not a sinner, was Jesus Christ. And He's the one that can take your sins and make them whiter than snow. Right. Though, it means to admit. That's one of the hardest, you know what's one of the hardest things to do? It's one of the hardest things, and I would say, you can take alcoholism, you can take pornography, you can take gambling addictions, you can take any major problem in America, and God can easily wipe, I mean, no problem. He can just, no problem. He can fix that in no time. But a man that is so prideful that he can't look into his own soul and less than 5 seconds later say, yep, I'm a sinner. That is one of the most, there are people right now that I'm praying that'll get saved. Did you know there are some people in this room right now, I've got people all over America praying for you. Did you know right now in this very moment, that if you're lost, that I have prayed for you, if you've admitted you're, and even if you hadn't admitted you're lost. But some of you have told me to my face that you're lost. Now what happens with that? One of the hardest things to do is to say, I am a sinner. Now I'll tell you, this pastor, I talk to people in Asheville a lot, and every now and then I'll run into somebody and they'll say, tell me the best bar in Asheville. Because they're looking for somebody that's lived here their whole life. And I'll tell them, I've got 200 years worth of family history in Buncombe in Madison County. I've been here my whole life. And I've got another 160 years before me. I've been, and because people are coming into Asheville by the droves, by the thousands, by, and I'll run into them and they'll say, tell me, if you're gonna go tonight and get drunk, where would you go? I talked to a young couple this week. Listen now very closely. I talked to a young couple this week, man and woman. The man asked me first. He said, if you were going to go get drunk somewhere in this county, where would you go? And I said, I don't drink. And I explained to them, and I mean, my wife were talking about this. I explained to people all the time that I'm a pastor. That doesn't mean anything to them. That doesn't mean anything anymore. And the man got the picture. I said, I don't drink. The man got the picture. Then the woman started. She would not shut up. She said, if you're going to go drink tonight, tell me now. You've been here, and they were from Chicago. If you were going to go tonight and get drunk, where would you go? I don't drink. And I told you why I don't drink. If you're going, and she kept going. She said, now there's a place. There's got to be a place that you would go, and it would just be you and the bartender. That's the kind of place we're looking for. I'm talking about well-off people that come to they come with piles of money to blow in Asheville, North Carolina. They come with piles of money. They hear about it all over the world. Now, I'm here to tell you, you do not have a drunk pastor. I don't drink. I don't even touch the stuff. I don't want to have it anywhere near me, but, I, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Find the worst drunkard that you can find, and he's made out of the same dirt as everybody in this room. And for me to say that because I don't drink, that I'm not a sinner, I am lying to myself. If we say that we have no sin, what's the next phrase? We deceive ourselves. All right? So, the word though here means to admit. Look at the next two words. Though your sins, not only the confession of the sinner, but the condemnation for the sins. Though your sins. Now, I love that song, It Is Well. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Now, the reason I don't have to pay for my sin is because He knows my name. Y'all shout right there, Isaiah. He knows my name. Hey, He knows me. Now, I don't have to pay for my sin. When I get to heaven, I'm not going to have to reconcile with God with my checkbook. Or my good deeds to see if my good stuff outweighs. That's what a lot of people get this idea. And you can thank Disney and modern media and these people that have put this stuff in your head that you pull yourself up and do your best by your own self and nothing matters but the now. And people think that when they get to heaven, they're going to get to the gate and there's going to be a set of scales there. The good side and the bad side. And all your stuff's going to be piled up on them two sides. And if your good stuff outweighs the bad stuff, then the door's going to come open. You give me one verse in that King James Bible that makes a reference to such an event, and I will eat your dirty socks with mayonnaise. Come on now. Go out and work a 12-hour day. Peel the socks off your feet. Scrape the fuzz off, put it in a bowl with mayonnaise, and I'll eat it. Yeah, that prickin'. It ain't in there. I ain't worried a lick about having to do that because it ain't in the Bible nowhere. It ain't my good works versus my bad works. It's not my omissions versus my commissions. It is the blood of Jesus Christ that washed me whiter than snow that's getting me into heaven. And I don't have to worry about it. Some of y'all are sitting there like the frog on the knot on the log in the hole in the bottom of the sea. Just waiting on a fly to come by. Y'all okay? Some of y'all are under conviction because you know I'm right and you need to get born again. Okay? Though your sins. Okay? Look at the next phrase. Though your sin, you know that, and I'll just throw this in there. That next two-letter word right there, though your sins what? Is that past? Is that in the past? The word be is a present word. Your sins right now. You got sins right now, and that's a problem. But the solution has already come, and that'll never change. And when you get into heaven, you will not be accountable for those marks and those stains in your dark, the stain that sold men's nature long. But hey, the blood of Christ reaches deeper than any stain of sin that has ever been on my life. There are things that I did in my past I ain't proud of, that I'm ashamed of. There are lies that I've told, places that I've been, things that I've done that I'm embarrassed. But when I get to the glory world, Jesus Christ will look at me and usher me into an eternity in heaven, not because of my good works, but because of Him! Because of Him! Because of Him! Because of Him! And because of me. Be the old devil throws that in your face. He'll say, you're dirty, stinking, rotten. You shouldn't have said that. You shouldn't have done that. You're worthless as hen's teeth. You're just, God ain't going to love you no more. God hates you. God's going to throw you away. You're wasting your time. And then I remember, oh my soul, though Satan should buffet and trials may come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ hath regarded my helpless estate and hath shed His own blood, His own blood, His own blood, His own blood for my soul. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I've already come. 'Tis grace that brought me safe thus far. And grace will lead me home. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise. And when we first, and when we're in that day right then, you just like Jesus right now, if you walked up to Jesus right now and God the Father, you walked up to them right now and you wouldn't be able to do that. You'd pass out. But if you walked up to them right now and you said, what about that Brian Coates? As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. The condemnation for the sins. Then there's the character of the sinful. Now look very carefully. The confession of the sinner, though. The condemnation for the sins. Your sins be. The character of the sinful as scarlet. This scarlet here is an interesting term, and I've preached on it here before, and I won't elaborate, but I do want to share you a few things about this scarlet. There is a stain. Just be honest with God. You don't have to raise your hand, but between you and God right now, there's some of you that every day when you wake up, you see a stain in your life. Something that happened 5 days ago, 5 years ago, 50 years ago. And there's a stain. The word scarlet here has to do with shame. So there's a stain, and then there's shame. Because here you are out in the world, you're trying to live like a Christian, you're trying to do right, you're trying to do what the Bible says, and you look at yourself, and I love my Christmas coat. I love it. Get over it. If the Lord don't come, I don't know if we'll be here next year or not, but if the Lord don't come, and we're here next year, I'll wear it again. I wear it again. But this red, I wore it on purpose literally today. Because when I walk into a room with this coat on, not many of you don't notice. And you've told me that. And if you've got, okay, let's just say you go out and you go to, and you go, I don't know what time it is, I'm trying to hurry, just bear with me. You go to the mall and you buy a $79 white shirt, brand new one. With a nice, you can, oh, that's cheap. That, now, I don't spend but 19. But the 79, come on, some of you business people know what I'm talking about. You can, clothes ain't cheap. You buy a brand hammer new $79 white shirt. You put that thing on, and then your stomach starts to growl because you're a little hungry. So it's time to go to Chinese. Can I get a witness on that?
Amen.
Time to go to Chinese. And you got that little bottle of the Lord only knows what's in it. But it's good. And there's stuff floating in it. There's fingerprints on the side of it. And a booger right there next to the lid. Y'all know I'm right. So you swap it out with the one at the table next to you. Come on now. Some of y'all are so sanctified you don't even know real English words. So you swap that out. Listen now. And you get so excited about that. You turn it. Hey, listen now. You turn that thing upside down and you go to town with that. And guess what? Gets on that white shirt. You got something going on and you walk into the room and whether ever, listen now, listen to this. Listen to me. Whether everybody else sees it or not, you think they do. Probably nobody don't even know it's there. But you know it's there. And then every now and then, an old buzzard will come by and they'll say, you got something on your shirt. And you want to punch him in the throat, don't you? I mean, honestly. Right then, it just you're like, yes, I know it's there. And ain't a thing in the world I can do about it. I'm here to tell you right now that sin may stain you. But when God looks, He does not see it.
Amen.
And He don't point at it. Some things I've done in my life before I got right with God. That the Holy Ghost convict me about. And when I got that thing right, there's never been a day since that day that God said, don't you remember when you used to do this?
Amen, brother.
I'm therefore now under no condemnation. Then there's the comfort for the saved. Look at this last thing here. The confession of the sinner, the condemnation for the sins, the character of the sinful. Then there's the comfort for the saved. They shall be as white as snow. All right, Brother Mark, I want you to come up here. You may not realize just how much of a sinner you are. I want you to just kneel right there at that altar. Mark never turns me down when I ask him to volunteer for something. Never turns me down. And I get him into a lot of trouble. But I don't want you to think about Mark Merck right now. I want you to think about a person. Man, woman, boy, girl, old person, young person, don't matter. That's a sinner. You and I perceive that as a kneeling sinner. A lot of times when people come to an altar in a church, your mind starts wondering why they're going. It don't matter. Does not matter. And I began to think today about these, about sins in the Scripture, and I could have picked any of them, but I'm going to just go through the Ten Commandments real quick. Number one, thou shalt not covet. So let's say that the man at the altar here was a covetous man that got saved. Now, there's still going to be sin throughout life. There's still going to be things. And you and I see the man laying here, kneeling here. We see that. But I'm going to show you what God sees. I was going to make it snow in here, but I didn't want to clean it up. That's what God says.
Amen.
That was a covetous man. But this is what God sees. All right, now, as I think about the next one, I'm going to have to carry this with me. Bearing false witness. A liar. Dishonest bearer of false witness. Some of y'all know some people out there that are lost and they don't tell the truth. They're dishonest. God get a hold of somebody and they'll start telling the truth a whole lot more. You got an old liar. You've known him for 30, 40, 50 years, and he's just dishonest, bearing false witness. Guess what? When he gets right with God, whether you like it or not, God takes that liar.
Amen.
We see a liar. God sees white as snow.
Amen.
Stealing. I'm going backwards. Stealing. Wait a minute. Nobody knows who, yeah, you know, old thieves. You just want them to go to jail. And I do too. They need to go to jail. But I want them to get right with God. A thief that gets saved will stop his thieving. You got that old thief, or you've got that old adulterer. Wait a minute, that person committed adultery. They're the worst person alive. Oh, you have no idea what God is able to do. It's a terrible, horrible, ugly thing. But God can take that thief, or in this case, that adulterer. Everybody looks at them and they say, adultery, adultery, adultery. And when an adulterer walks into the room, you may not say it, but in your mind as they cross the room, you think, adultery, 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 adultery. But guess what? When he comes into the throne room of grace to obtain mercy that he might find grace to help in time of need, God don't say, adultery, 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 adultery. He says, white as snow. And as you see, thou shalt not kill, and honor thy father and mother, and remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Hey, these are all things that we failed in. These are all things that we messed up in. But these first three, thou shalt have no other gods before me. So let me ask you today, you may not see yourself as an adulterer. Thank you, Mark. You can go sit down. You may not see yourself as an adulterer. You may not see yourself as a thief. You may not see yourself as a murderer. But let me ask you this question. Have you ever put anything in front of God? Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images. Do you have any idols in your life? Oh, that's a Buddha statue. No, no, no. Anything that you put in front of God is an idol. Anything that keeps you from God is an idol. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. You ever use God's name in any way that was not in reference to Him? You polluted your own mouth. It even bothers me to hear preachers, while they're preaching, to use God's name in an inappropriate way. It's terrible. So I'll ask you today, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. When God looks at you right now, does He see a sinner? Or does He see a saved, whiter than snow saint?